Mr. Nuttall was a very nervous man. He had been undergoing treatment for several years now, and as he had an independent income and no need to work, he spent a great deal of his time in visits to friends and relatives. Before his nervous condition had come about, he had been an almost total recluse, spending a great deal of time raising mushrooms in his damp cellar and reading a large number of books. As a consequence, his visits to see relations consisted of meeting a large group of comparative strangers. It was in the early fall of the year when he knocked on the door of the Sappleton residence. He was ushered in by a very dignified 10-year-old girl who asked him to have a seat and told him that her aunt would be down shortly. She sat for a moment, glancing at a large, strangely bound book, then looked up at Mr. Nuttall. Do you know many of the people around here? She asked. Hardly a soul, said Mr. Nuttall. Then you know practically nothing about my aunt, said the girl. Mr. Nuttall admitted he knew only her name and address. The young girl smiled sympathetically. Her great tragedy happened just 3 years ago. Tragedy? Inquired the nervous Mr. Nuttall. The girl pointed to the French windows leading to the lawn. You may wonder why we keep that window open in the fall of the year. Oh, it is quite warm for this time of the year, said Mr. Nuttall, shifting in his chair. But has that window got anything to do with the tragedy? The girl then told him this story. Out through that window 3 years ago this very day, her husband and her two younger brothers went off for a day's hunting in the woods you can see there. They never came back. In crossing the swamps to their favorite piece of hunting ground, all of them were engulfed in a treacherous piece of quicksand. Their bodies were never recovered. That was the dreadful part of it. My poor aunt thinks they will all come back someday, they and the little brown dog that was lost with them, and walk in that window just as they used to do. That is why the window is kept open every evening till night falls. Poor dear aunt, she has often told me how they went out, her husband with his white raincoat over his arm, and Ronnie, her youngest brother, singing, as he always did to tease her because she said it got on her nerves. Do you know that sometimes on still, quiet evenings like this, I almost get the creepy feeling that they will all walk in through that window? Mr. Nuttall shuddered and was relieved when the aunt bustled into the room with a whirl of apologies for being late and making her appearance. I hope Vera has been amusing you, she said. She's been very interesting, said Mr. Nuttall, glancing in the direction of the open window. The long shadows of the late afternoon made the distant trees even gloomier, he thought. I do hope you don't mind the open window, said the aunt in a brisk voice. My husband and brothers will be home shortly from hunting, and they always come in this way. They've been out in the marshland today, so they'll make a fine mess on my poor carpets. So like you men folks, isn't it? She prattled on cheerfully about the hunting and the scarcity of birds and the prospects for duck in the winter. To Mr. Nuttall, it was all purely horrible. He made a desperate but not too successful attempt to turn the talk to a less ghastly topic, but he was conscious that his hostess was not giving him a great deal of her attention. Her eyes were constantly straying past him to the open window. He thought it was an unfortunate coincidence that he should have paid his visit on this tragic anniversary. He cleared his throat nervously and tried once more to capture the attention of his hostess. The doctors agree in ordering me complete rest, an absence of mental excitement, and the avoidance of anything in the way of physical exercise. On the matter of diet, they are not so much in agreement. No, said the aunt. Then she suddenly brightened into alert attention. Here they are at last, and just in time for tea. Don't they look as if they're muddy up to the eyes? Mr. Nuttall shivered slightly and turned toward the little girl to give her a smile of sympathy. The child was staring out through the open window with dazed horror in her eyes. In the chill shock of nameless fear, Mr. Nuttall swung around and looked in the same direction. In the deepening twilight, three figures were walking across the lawn toward the window. They all carried guns under their arms, and one of them carried a muddy white raincoat. A tired brown spaniel was close at their heels. Noiselessly, they neared the house. And then Mr. Nuttall heard...
Do you ken John Peel in his coat of gray? Do you ken John Peel at the break of day with the fox and the hounds in the morning?
Good heavens! Just as the little girl had said, one of the men was singing. Mr. Nuttall grabbed wildly for his hat and coat and dove for the front door. Flinging it open, he ran down the path, tried to jump the hedges, tripped and fell down. He picked himself up and with one terrified look back at the house, ran down the road toward the railroad station. Back in the house, the figure carrying the muddy white raincoat stepped in the open window and said, "Well, we're home, dear, a bit muddy, but on time for supper. Who was that that ran out as we came up to the house?" That was a Mr. Nuttall, dear, said the aunt. Some distant relative who dropped in for a visit. Extraordinary man. All he seemed to talk about was his illness, and when he saw you coming, dashed off without saying a word. I don't know what to make of it. The little girl shook her head gravely and said, I expect it was the spaniel. Mr. Nuttall has a horror of dogs. He was telling me just before you came down that once he was chased into a cemetery by a pack of wild dogs and had to spend the night in a newly dug grave with the creatures snarling and grinning and foaming just above him. Oh, why, the poor man, said her aunt. One would have thought he had seen a ghost. The little girl smiled sweetly.